All the talk, all the time. This is TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio. And now, more of Barely Legal.
Welcome back to the Barely Legal Show, right here on 560 AM WIND. This segment is brought to you by the law offices of David Spada. Go to David's website, injuryinillinois.com, or call him directly. You don't mind me sending out your phone number, do you?
No,
there, David?
Give it out.
Absolutely. 847-729-COMP, C-O-M-P, or 847-729-2667. And our next guest that we've got on the phone, and I was kind of in shock a little bit when you sent me the text, David, that we're going to have this gentleman on. And all I remember, he was a pretty badass from what I remember. But Dexter Manley with the Washington Redskins and about four other NFL teams and a couple years up in Canada. Well, fill us in here a little bit. You know, you finished up your career with the Ottawa Rough Riders in 1994, and
yep,
and then you, I guess you've been in business now for a little bit by yourself.
I do a variety of things. You know, what I do now is I'm real active in our community, just, you know, being of service. People have served me, so now it's my time to sort of serve them.
Mm-hmm.
And but I keep putting one foot in front of the other one, overcoming all the vicissitudes that I went through, and trouble with drug addiction, and coming up on 5 years clean. So that's a lot within itself right there. It started to keep putting one foot in front of the other one.
Do you think that your issues with drugs prevented you from becoming a Hall of Fame player?
Well, I sure hope not. I think that I feel like that, you know, I had an impact when I was playing, when I played in the game. I like to think not. I like to think that it's your contribution that you made during the time that you was playing football. And most of my troubles came after I played football. But of course, I did have the cloud hanging over me. But today, God is lifting the cloud and bringing out the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you get to the point where you said, okay, I'm done with drugs?
Well, I tell you, I'm glad you asked me that question. You know, you suffer so much. You have to suffer to get better. You know, one day, and I tell you what, I know it was the summer of 2006, June 16th. I was sort of in the grips of addiction, you know, hot, sweating, and my life was sort of, my life had unraveled, and all of a sudden, I was somewhere in the district here, and the police officer pulled me over, and he automatically knew that something sort of was up with me, and he said, "Manley, you need help." So I called the rescue squad, and from that day on, I've been sober ever since. That was giving me an opportunity to sort of change my life forever. Not that I got arrested, that he reached out to get me help to say you need to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the hospital, but at the same time, I had an emergency surgery. I had from playing football, from the trauma, my brain was swelling up, which I didn't even know it. And I had a 12-and-a-half-hour brain surgery about 4 years ago, and from that day on, I've never went back out. I made a decision that I'm going to change my life.
Wow, that's a great testimony out there for the people who are listening to this interview. We've got Dexter Manley on, and obviously it's well documented the fact that you did have a major drug addiction. So you would say that you kind of hit bottom on that day, right? That was it, you know?
Well, yes. I tell you, the great lie is that, when I grew up in that environment, but I never sort of experimented any kind of mood-altering drugs. And when I got to the National Football League, that was guys before me that sort of was using drugs. I was just doing that as an experiment. And all of a sudden, I couldn't lick it. You know, I thought I had control, that it's not going to get me. But to make a long story short, I suffered, and then I got better. And so I just want to say there is hope, because if one person can do it, so can another one.
Yeah, but it takes you to be able to listen, because I'm sure that wasn't the first time that somebody had said, hey, you got a problem.
Oh, no, no. I've been sort of hearing this stuff. I started first using cocaine in 1984, and it took. I've been to 37 treatment centers across America, and I still wasn't listening. But on that day, on June 16th of 2006. I got the message, you know, and I really got the message when I went to that, when I had the 12 and a half hour brain surgery, and then the neurosurgeon said, hey, man, you can't use no more. You could be paralyzed. You could be like a vegetable sitting in some retirement home, old folks home. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a relatively young guy. And so at that time, but I didn't do it alone. You know, I was helped. I started going to meetings. I've always gone to meetings. But
I don't think the meetings mean anything. I think you got to want to do it yourself.
You got to want to do it. The meetings sort of give you the information to how to go about doing it, mm-hmm. and sort of participating with other people who's doing the same thing you're doing. And so I started participating. Number one, I started listening. I didn't think that I can solve my own problem because for so many years, that's what I thought. You know, even when I used to meet with Joe Gibbs most known every Friday. You know, going his office, he'd grab out the Bible and start reading verses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't. Yeah, my whole thing was about football, and I didn't think that I had a severe problem, but I didn't get it then. But I'm so glad I got it when I got it.
Joe Gibbs sounds like Esther from Sanford and Son taking out the Bible.
Well, Joe Gibbs has a faith that's unshakable. He was very instrumental in my life. Although I had a father, but he was like a father figure, and I'm just so grateful that he was there and that I was able to sort of hear what he said, and I started listening.
Yeah. Most coaches do take on the father role. I have a son who's being recruited right now at a high school. He's a quarterback. We had dinner with the coach at
What's your son's name?
His name is Kevin Earl.
You're not asking for money, are you?
No, no, I don't think he's quite a Cam Newton yet. But
summer for a vacation home in a car.
But my point of reference here is the fact that as I'm sitting there, and my wife and I, and his older brother who just finished up his college career, and his quarterback coach, and I guess what the important thing there is, you got to really stare at that head coach and say, okay, you're going to be taking over the father role here for the next 5 years. You know, show me what you got. And I was very impressed with this.
Where'd your son go to school? He hadn't gone yet.
Well, he's getting ready to go off to college. He's being recruited by a few schools, and we just had dinner with one of the coaches at the University of South Dakota, and they're going into the big conference in the D1AA.
Okay, well, I wish him a lot of luck.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
But South Dakota can't offer a Cam Newton offer.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they've got $250,000 in back of their pocket somewhere.
I tell you guys a quick story. I was in Houston, and it was the time. I'm from Houston, and mm-hmm. I went to Houston in 1995, and I stayed there until 2004. That's where a lot of my troubles came from. But I went to work for a law firm, a prestigious law firm in Houston, trial lawyer. And I was sort of I wasn't a paralegal. I was a legal assistant. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of research. So this guy was very multi-millionaire lawyer, and he was a big alumni of the University of Houston. This guy was giving him like $50-60 million. He said, "Man, I want you to go talk to Vince Young." Vince was in high school at Sterling. He said, "But I want you, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I just
go ahead. It's the Barely Legal Show.
I'm gonna just keep it real." He said, "Offer the guy $300,000, but I could never. I didn't. It was myself and another guy who was in the practice.
Wow,
we teamed up." Do you know that at the high school level, Vince Young had a buffalo of people around, and we couldn't even get to Vince Young? I said, "I'm not going to chase no high school
kid." Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Great.
But he went to the University of Texas, and I'm sure they probably gave him a lot more money than $300.
You should have gone with an envelope filled with cash. Well, that might have got him to Houston.
They just had the SMU Pony Express. Success. No, the Express or Success. Yeah, we got about 20 seconds here, Dexter. That's a great, great story. But, you know, it's going on all over. I mean, when I signed at the University of Washington, my dad drove home in a new Cadillac. I mean, what the heck? But that was back in 1973.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dex, hey, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I love your story. Keep up the great work. Get the word out to those kids. Those are the ones going to need it. This is the Barely Legal Show. We're going to be back with Steve Wargin. Stay tuned.